The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov, Chag Atzmaus Sameach.
And to you.
Yeah, happy days in Israel today. It's still quite quiet morning, but it is Yom Atzmaut, and it is in the post-corona period. So we're able to celebrate this year in an entirely different way from what was done last year. Still not quite back to the normal crowds gathering and the usual activities that we were accustomed to in celebrating Yom Atzmaut. But today is a day that we can really kind of take a step back and forget a little about some of the things that are bothering us, some of the negative stories around, and just appreciate Medinat Israel for what she really is, for what it is to us. And I wanted to open this morning by just inviting listeners perhaps to drop a short message saying, what does the existence of the State of Israel mean to you, if anything at all, in your everyday lives? It's just a fascinating thing because I think that we live in a generation which is immensely privileged to have the State of Israel in our Jewish lives. And I personally have even greater privilege to be able to partake daily of what the State of Israel is to me and to my family in a Jewish sense. And I just wondered what people feel about that. You know, we still have those people around who are more than 73 years old and who potentially remember what life was like to be a Jew in a world which didn't have a Jewish state.
Absolutely.
And I think that I'm not quite sure why our generation has been singled out for this immense privilege, but I think it's up to us to really take advantage of it and to really enjoy it, because I believe that the State of Israel does make a big difference in its existence.
Absolutely. You know, I'll never forget my late father would always tell us the story of what it was like to grow up in Johannesburg or to grow up in a country town where he did before the State of Israel, before Israel was a state. And the difference between before and after was absolutely immense, just in terms of what it meant to him as this little Jewish kid.
I think so. I mean, I certainly believe that. And there might be people who would write in to say that the existence of the State of Israel might be a hindrance to them because of a lot of negativity that they're going to have to bear, people blaming them, people looking towards them for some of the negative stories that come out of Israel. I'm not expecting only positive things. I think that people also have to bear some responsibility, which of course is not their personal responsibility, but people look towards them as Jews to say, hey, you know, Israel is not okay, and you are connected to it via your Jewish faith. Maybe that's also part of the thing that people have to bear, the experience that people have to endure as being, you know, part of a generation where the Jewish state exists. For me, though, it's immensely positive. And, you know, I feel a great pride, a lot of celebration on a day like today. 73 years, it's a generation. Well, how long is a generation? I think it might be a few generations already Israel has been in existence. There's a lot to be proud of. And especially when we look at the hardships that Israel has had to endure over the years, let's not forget that at the founding of the State of Israel, a war broke out, the War of Independence. Just a few, very, very few Jews in number at that stage living in Israel, having to defend the borders of the country. And miracles, honestly, miracles were in abundance in those days to see the existence, the endurance of the young state. And the flourishing state that we see today cannot be compared to what was in existence 73 years ago. And I think that that's a massive testament to the work that's been done over the years by Israelis in not only defending the country from a defensive point of view, but also from an offensive point of view in terms of building the country that we have today, building an economy, building an army, building a society, building something which I think has many, many aspects that we can be immensely proud of. And people landing in Israel today, seeing the life that people live here, seeing the roads, the infrastructure, seeing the apartment building, seeing Tel Aviv, the business center in Tel Aviv, seeing the history of Jerusalem, how that's been preserved alongside the modern light railway, Jerusalem light railway that's been constructed to take you from one historical site to another biblical site via this very, very modern infrastructure. When you see all of that, it's just unrecognizable in comparison to what was in existence 73 years ago.
Anthony, do you think that young Israelis have the same appreciation? Because they are being born into a world of luxury, of sophistication, of very, very refined and advanced infrastructure, scientific and technological advancements, even in terms of relative safety. Obviously, Israel is always on high alert. There's always a concern. But the youngsters coming through now, it's a very different experience to those in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s.
No doubt at all. I think it's very, very difficult for people being born into this world to truly appreciate what went in worlds before this. And I mentioned that in terms of Jewish identity about, you know, the people who feel that the Shoah doesn't necessarily have any relevance in their lives because they're born into a world where Jewish identity and Jewish existence is almost assured, is protected by a national government, by a national army. And so there are many attempts to try to bring some of those values to get young Israelis to really understand the values that allowed the state to be built, the threats that the state was under, the threats that we as a Jewish nation were under. And one of the activities that they still continue, although not during the COVID period, but has been traditional, is of course to take young Israelis to visit the death camps in Poland, to take them to Auschwitz, to witness the ashes from which this nation grew up, this country grew up, and also to take military commanders, those who are in training to become senior commanders within the IDF, take them to Auschwitz. And one of the most moving things that one could ever witness is to see IDF soldiers in uniform marching around Auschwitz in formation. And I have a secondhand story of someone who visited Auschwitz in that particular context and who went with a survivor who accompanied the military unit on their visit in their uniforms to Auschwitz. He was a survivor of the camp, and he marched them into Auschwitz, him ahead of the column, with all the soldiers in their uniforms behind him. And the significance of that could not be lost on anybody, because he understood that the thing that lies between us and a repeat of that Auschwitz were those young men and women who were marching behind him in their uniforms, who would always ensure that something like Auschwitz would never, ever happen again. So there is an attempt to try and bring those values to our younger generation. But of course, they could never appreciate it because they're born in an entirely different world. And we, as in our generation, are trying to raise a generation of younger people who would never have to experience what we had to go through. And in turn, our parents are trying to make sure or tried to make sure that we don't experience what they had to go through. So each generation is really trying to improve it for the next generation. And in so doing, we lose a little bit of the link to what each of the generations had to endure. And you know, maybe we need to rethink how we educate our young people. But in one sense, you know, I'm very grateful that our young people are being born into this kind of society, into this kind of country, into a country which has Jewish holidays as its base. There is no possible way that anybody living in Israel could forget that it's Purim, could miss it in any way, could forget that it's Hanukkah, where Jews in the diaspora might have missed it because it's just not, you know, the base. It's not the default. And so there is a certain, you know, value that we attach to that. And we see it, you know, those Jewish values come out today. When we look at the flag, the two blue stripes of the flag represent the blue stripes that we see on a tallit, on a prayer shawl. But they also represent the banks of the Red Sea, where the Jews came out from Egypt through the Red Sea, between the banks, between the water that had been separated to allow us to come through. So there is so much significance and symbolism in all of those things. And, you know, today's a great day for us just to take a step back and to think about those and to remember them.
So a couple of interesting points. Dina Diamond says, we also did that at Auschwitz with a survivor. It literally changed my life. It was so powerful. And Ivy says, Bokhar Tov, Howard and Anthony, I feel very privileged to have been born early enough to remember the amazing celebration we had at Balfour Park, which was then an open stadium. We stood with our Israeli flags with joy, pride and happiness to celebrate our new state of Israel. It is an amazing memory. Avi, I'd love to hear more about that, because I have no knowledge of that at all. What happened here in Johannesburg when Israel was declared a state? I would absolutely love more information about that. So, Anthony, what is happening today across Israel?
Well, right now, there would be the start of a celebration of a ceremony that's taking place at the president's residence to honor the 120 outstanding soldiers who've been chosen to be singled out this year for their contribution to the IDF, and a special flyover over the president's residence by the Israeli Air Force to honor not only those students, but also those soldiers, I'm sorry, who will be receiving the President's Medal of Distinction, but also to honor the President himself, who is in his last days as President of Israel, having completed his 7-year tenure, and he will soon be leaving office. So there was also a personal element to this for President Ruvi Rivlin. Of course, last night we had that very moving ceremony where the 12 beacons were lit, Letiferet Medinat Israel, to the glory of the State of Israel, one beacon for each tribe of Israel, 12 beacons all in all, being lit by people who are representative of Israeli society, who have done wonderful things. A 102-year-old man came from Yemen, an immigrant from Yemen, also standing up so proudly, shouting out the words, Letiferet Medinat Israel, in front of the crowd, gathered members of his family, and a limited number of audience members who were allowed to attend that ceremony. Also, a young girl from Mexico representing Jews of the diaspora. She had done some amazing work in her local community and in promoting Jewish causes, and she was singled out to represent the Jews of the diaspora in lighting her beacon, Letiferet Medinat Israel. So a very proud moment for all of those people and their families in the presence of senior dignitaries. Today, as I said, we will have the ceremony at the president's residence. There will be the flyover, not only of the president's residence, but indeed the Israeli Air Force has gone out of its way to try to fly over as many Israeli towns and cities as possible in order to involve those Israelis who wish to witness the amazing technology that our Air Force brings and allows, is used to protect Israel. Later this afternoon, we will have, this morning will be the annual Bible quiz. And of course, this evening will be the awarding of the Israel Prize, all of which are traditional on Yom Ha'atzmaut. And there will be people who will turn around and say, hang on a second, today is not Hey B'Iyar, it's not the fifth day of Iyar, which is the traditional day which Yom Ha'atzmaut is celebrated. Of course, today is only the third day of Iyar. Yom Ha'atzmaut officially will fall on Shabbat, but because, of course, of the Shabbat and because of the difficulties in celebrating Yom Ha'atzmaut over the weekend, those celebration days have been brought forward a couple of days in order to allow us to celebrate in the usual possible way. So that is what's happening today for Yom Ha'atzmaut as we head into a long weekend. Israelis, of course, will traditionally go out and use the opportunity to set up barbecues, to be in parks, to be out and about. The weather, not the best for Yom Ha'atzmaut, but it looks sunny out. It was forecast to be cooler, but it looks like it's going to be sunny. So I'm expecting people to be out and about and really celebrating.
It's Anthony, in fact, earlier, and a few people have asked me to repeat it, I went through some of the stats. Israel apparently today, on its 73rd anniversary, the Jewish state stands at 9.327 million people, 6.9 million Jews, that's what makes up 73.9% of the population, 1.96 million Arabs, that's just over a fifth of the population, 467,000 people of other groups, and that's about 5%. 78% of Israeli Jews are native born. I thought that was interesting. And there's been an increase of 1.5%, that's 137,000 people since last Yom HaAtzmaut. In 1948, Anthony, this was the number that you were alluding to earlier. When the Jewish state was established, the population of Israel numbered 806,000 people. Since then, 3.3 million people have immigrated to Israel, 44% of them arriving since 1990, which I thought is also very, very interesting. This also I found fascinating, that is, in 1948, only 6% of global Jewish population of 11.5 million people, Jews, lived in Israel. So in 1948, 6% of global Jews lived in Israel. By the end of 2019, 46% of the world's total Jewish population lives in the Jewish state. And the five biggest cities, people are asking me to repeat those: Jerusalem with 936,000 people, Tel Aviv 461,000, Haifa 285, Rishon LeZion 254, and Petah Tikva 248. Absolutely amazing.
I think Tel Aviv is a little bit misleading because, of course, Tel Aviv is made up of a number of different separate municipalities. But, I mean, the greater Tel Aviv area, obviously, much larger in population than Jerusalem. But because we separate Tel Aviv Yafo, we separated out from Ramat Gan and from Givatayim and from the surrounding towns and cities, which are all really connected so much to Tel Aviv that they're almost part of Tel Aviv. So, yes, I mean, officially, those are the statistics. Just another little statistic, already quoting numbers. Average life expectancy of a person living in Israel, 82.7 years.
Wow.
Males expected to live to be 81, 80.7 to be precise. Women expected to live to be 85 years old. That is the average life expectancy people living in Israel today.
Absolutely unbelievable. It is 801. Anthony Rock, thank you as always. I hope you get out today and have a good, have a braai, have some fun, and we'll, of course, and Shabbat Shalom for tomorrow evening. We'll catch you on Monday morning.